good to see you guys. Here we are. It's 2018, 19 men's study year. I am super stoked. I think I was getting on the nerves of my leaders this evening. I'm just so fired up. I was about ready to start dancing, man. This is an exciting time. We're back here to get into the Word together. How many of you guys that here this evening, it's your first time in this men's study? Welcome, man. Yeah. There are many men sitting in these pews right now that will attest to the fact that this thing will change your life. Amen. It will change your life to open up the Bible, to read what God wrote, to study it in the context of specific topic, and to grow as a result of the time you spend with one another in the Word, in your group time, and as you prepare for that time throughout the week. It's an amazing thing. I believe this is 22 years for me or something like that, I don't know, 21 or 22, that I've been doing. I came into this study when I was 5 months old in the Lord, and I had never left. And it's been a great blessing to me. Meet a lot of guys that are dear to me in my life over these last couple of decades are still dear to me in my life because they're men who have at one point or another poured into me as a result of the time we spent in this study. So I want to encourage you guys to be anticipating something great. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you love us. Lord, we're here because of that simple fact. Lord, you loved us so much that you gave someone so precious to you to die, that we might know who you are, that we might have a relationship with you. We pray, God, that we would never take that sacrifice lightly, routinely, habitually, but we would recognize what a precious and awesome privilege it is to be called by your name. And as we sit in this place on this evening, set to embark on a time of studying your word with our brothers, Lord, we have no idea what you're going to do in our lives over the next several months, but we want to know. And we pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts clearly, even tonight as we get to know one another, as we spend a little bit of time here in your word. We pray, God, that you would begin to lay those things that you're going to build on as you pour into us. And we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes coming to this place on a Tuesday evening outside of your normal church attendance is not an easy thing to do. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff that wants to stop you from getting here. Sometimes one of my very first Bible study years, on the very first night of Bible study, I was coming up the hill because I used to work down the hill in Fontana, California, Steel Industries, and I got a flat tire right in the 215-15 split. And man, and I am not mechanically inclined up to and including changing tires, but I got it done, and I got to study all greasy and stinky, but I made it. But you know, many of you can attest to the fact that it's not an easy thing just to, you know, oh, I'm just going to church this evening. Yeah, okay, sure. But you know what you're doing is you're coming to a place that's going to radically impact your life. And of course, there's going to be opposition. You didn't just come to church this evening. You came and committed to a men's Bible study, which means that you are committed to building your character up in the Lord and in His Word. Discipline. Godliness. Things that will affect your home. Things that will affect your church, your job, the people that know you. So you didn't just come to church this evening. You set the first foot down into the first step of a journey prayerfully that God is going to use to radically change some things that He's saying. It's about time you came here because we got some work to do. And this is what I know. I know that by you guys even being here this evening, you've already, just your very presence here, has already displayed your desire to see what God is going to do. Amen? You're here. There's other things you could be doing. I don't know, maybe there's some baseball on TV or something. I'm not much of a baseball fan, but I know they're kind of in their playoff gig right now. And there's other things that we could be doing. I don't know, maybe there's somebody came over to your house. You're like, nah, I got to go to church. There's other things we could be doing. So what I know by you sitting here right now, anticipating breaking off into your group, what you're telling us, each other, the man sitting next to you, is that I'm here. I have decided that I want something. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to hear what He's going to do. But as you continue, then you will begin to display your will. You've displayed your desire, your want, because you're here. But as this study continues, then your will be put to test. Then your desire will begin to show its true colors. Then your desire will run up against things like, oh man, I'm tired. Oh man, I didn't feel like reading this chapter. Oh man, that one dude that sits in the group, he talks too much, and I don't want to go sit there and listen to him again. I've been in this study a long time, I know. You're going to run into all sorts of things. You're going to get mad at your bride before you walk out of the door and say, you know what, forget it, I'm not going to study. It's not doing any good. I'm going to stay home and make her miserable. Make me miserable. Your kids will be, well, that'll probably make you want to come to study. But but there's going to be all these things. Man, I got a lot of stuff to get done before tomorrow. I got a lot of stuff to get done this week. I can't make it to study this week. It's just study anyways, whatever. You know, and all these things will test what you're displaying right now by being here, and that is your desire. It'll test it. And because I've been in this study for 22 years, and many men who have been here longer than me, they can tell you straight out that many men have been tested and many men have failed. These pews never look like this on the last day of study. They never do. Every year we pray that they will. And we do it again this year. But there's something that we can consider that demonstrates this in the scriptures. If you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, as we get ready to kind of introduce this study and see what it is, because this year in our study, we really want to take a focus on discipleship. That's why we're doing a topical study this year, because we were looking at very specific topics, and we want to grow with one another in these specific areas as we look through the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16, it's a very common text to many of you who would be students of the word, and that is the story of the rich young ruler, right? We know he's rich, we know he's young, we know he's a ruler because of the different gospels that mention him, and we collect all that information and we come to that conclusion. This man is rich, he's young, and he's powerful. But we find this man displaying in the very beginning of this text that we're going to look at his desire, much like you. In verse 16, Matthew 19, "Now behold, one came and said to him," Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now let's stop on that text for just a little bit. This man, he's rich, he's young, and he's powerful. In this culture, rich, young, powerful people don't go out into the streets and search for vagabonds, homeless people. Which is essentially what Jesus is at this time. The Bible, he tells us that foxes have holes and so on and so forth. He goes, I got nowhere to lay my head. But this rich young man went against all cultural preference. He did this major cultural faux pas to go after this man who lives in the streets. And then to call him good teacher. This man who was rich and powerful at the very least would send somebody. Hey, I've heard that there's this guy out there that has answers. Go get him for me and bring him to me. But he didn't. He got down from his high place and he went out into the low place to find this Jesus. Which is a great display right out of the gates in this verse 16 of his desire. His desire was not inhibited by cultural norms. His desire was not inhibited by what other people might say, like, wait, you went to talk to that guy? What are you thinking? Nobody goes to that guy. It didn't matter to him. No obstacle stopped this man from taking himself from his lofty place into the streets to find this Jesus. So I hope that you can understand even in that this is a great display of desire. I was going to get that tire changed because I wanted to be at study. I was frustrated, I was angry, I was stressed, I was anxious, but I wanted to get to study. So when I sat in the pew on that night, it was a great display of desire. I fought to get there. Many of you know what that means, to fight to get here. This man let nothing stop him from going to find Jesus and calling him good teacher. In verse 17, Jesus responds to him and he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life," what does he tell him? "Keep the commandments." That's an interesting statement for Jesus to make. That's not what we would tell somebody. If they said, "Hey, what do I do to get eternal life?" Do you tell them, "Keep the commandments"? No. You tell them, "Believe in the Lord Jesus. Confess with your mouth and you will be saved." What we see happening here is that Jesus obviously knows this young man, does he not? He's Jesus. He knows you, he knows me, he knows this young man. He knows what's in this young man's heart. And he's beginning to meticulously get there, because you notice how the young man posed the question. He said, "What must what? I do. What must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus obviously sees what's going on. There's people around him. He knows that we're going to be reading it someday, so it's a teaching opportunity. He says, "Keep the commandments." Now, when he says, "Keep the commandments," this young man hears it, and immediately we begin to see his desire bear itself. The desire that was unhindered by cultural norms and so on and so forth, that didn't keep him in his lofty place in his home, and they got him out into that street to find this homeless man, all of a sudden now when he's starting to get the answer that he's looking for, "Keep the commandments," we begin to see the nature of this man's resolve. We begin to see the nature of this man's will. Because what does he say immediately after that? "Which ones?" Now, we can presume that this man knows what the law is, and he knows what the commandments are, right? So when somebody says, "Keep the commandments," he's like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So, but he's not deflected yet. He's not run off just yet. He's like, "Well, which ones?" Which means he's showing us that in his desire, he's got limits. Does your desire have limits? "I'll go to that men's study." "Oh, wait, it's like, it doesn't end till May?" Oh, wait, May? I thought this was like a bye in only 11 weeks. What are we doing? What do you mean I have to do homework? Wait a minute, what? Homework? I did homework in school and I didn't even do good at that. "Well, you're going to be reading this book with us." Reading? Do they have an audio? Does it have pictures? "I'm going to be held accountable? You mean that leader is going to be calling me and asking me if I need prayer? That leader is going to be calling me and following up when I've asked for prayer? Now, you mean they're going to be like in my ear and bugging me, and they're going to ask me if I did my homework, and if I don't do my homework, they're going to kind of like, 'Hey, well, so do you need help? What's going on?'" Wait, what? Man. I thought this was just go to church like on a Sunday morning, Wednesday, whatever. No. We're getting in and we're digging. And it's going to require something. Do you sit there in the pew right now going, "Which ones?" I'm willing to do some of that. But look, like when basketball season starts back up, if my team's on Tuesday, sorry. Is it all? Or is it which ones? Are you here to carry over the desire to grow as a godly man? Or are you here because, well, maybe you've been doing it for years, and that's what I do every time the men's study season rolls around. I come and I say hi to Gary and Jim Lacey. Or am I here for a purpose? Good teacher, what? Where is this eternal life? He says, which ones? Which begins again to bear his desire and how it shows into his will. But Jesus answers him. He says, well, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you can almost hear a sigh of relief from this young man. He's like, oh, well, he didn't mention those other ones. All those I've kept from my youth. I'm in. But he asked, what do I still lack? And then Jesus says to him, look at the way he starts that question or that statement. If you want to be perfect, wouldn't that be awesome? To be perfect? I understand it's quite unimaginable, but wouldn't it be great? And this is Jesus talking. It's in red in my Bible. He's about ready to say something pretty profound, right? If you want to be perfect, sign me up. Okay, hold on. He says, go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now, if we've ever heard this taught before, we understand this not to mean go sell everything you have to us and so on and so forth. Remember when I said earlier that Jesus knows this man? Jesus knows why he's there. Jesus knows what he's looking for. Jesus knows what his problem is. There's an interesting thing that's missing from this text. You know what it is? The man's name. There's lots of stories of the Bible and they tell us the guy's name, right? Jairus came about his daughter and so on and so forth. We get told names. In all the places we read about this, we don't tell this man's name. I find that a little bit curious, but then as I look at it, I'm thinking, what is our name? Oftentimes, it's more than just a name on our shirt so they know who the shirt belongs to when you get it from the laundry. It's your identity. If somebody knows who you are, if somebody says that Jeffrey Whitehead walked into the room, if you know who Jeffrey Whitehead is, you know some things about Jeffrey. It's not Jeffrey Whitehead, the guy who teaches Sunday school, who's also the computer guy, and No, it's Jeffrey Whitehead. And if you know Jeffrey Whitehead, you know these things because it's his identity. It's who we know him to be. Your name is more than just your name to the people who know you. Right? We're not told this man's name, but we are told his identity. And God is getting him right in his identity, who he thinks he is. We're told that he's rich. We're told that he's young. We're told that he's a ruler. And this is who this man is. And God is telling him, stop it. Stop it. Get rid of all of that. Come follow me. There goes his power. The only thing he really kind of keeps is his youth. But even that goes away. Everything that you are, get rid of it. Then follow me. Doesn't matter that you're rich. Doesn't matter that you're young. It doesn't matter that you have power. You come and follow me. What's also interesting, worth noting in this, is Jesus wasn't really in the business yet outside of his disciples of telling people to follow him. Many people tried to, and he told them not to. This is an interesting thing, and this is because what I believe what we're seeing here is we, as a group of men, have shown the desire. We've come here. But through the weeks leading to May, especially through Christmas when you got a few weeks off, you get in the habit of not being there. Oh, I forgot I had study. Then we will show our will. Then we will show our desire, what it really looks like. Yes, you want it, because you'll hear. But are you willing to do it? This man wanted it, broke all cultural barriers, didn't care what anybody would say. He jumped through hoops to go find Jesus. Because you can figure, this is Bible times. It's not like he like picked up an app and locate Jesus app, follow all the hashtags, and there he is, you know, because he's all over social media. Oh, he's at the store right now. Let's go. No, it doesn't work like that. How do you find a guy back in Bible times? I don't know, but he did. I don't imagine it was easy. So his desire could never be called into question by anybody around him except Jesus. Go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why was he sorrowful? He still wanted it, but he didn't get it. His want, I don't think, was ever really shaken in the sense he still wanted it. But he wasn't willing to give up what it took to get it. And that was who he is. Are you willing to give up who you are to become the godly man that this Bible study, digging into God's word, will make you? You want it because you're here. But are you willing? It's interesting. Sometimes I spend a considerable amount of time in the gym, and people ask me questions, and sometimes people work out with me or whatever, and then they start because they want to get in better shape, they want to feel better, they want to be stronger, whatever, and they start out and they're good, but then when we want to kind of move up, okay, it's time to put down the pink weights. Let's go get those dusty ones and see what happens. Oh man, that's work. That hurts. It makes me sore. It makes me sweat. It makes me breathe hard. I don't want to do that. But you said you wanted to get well. Nah, not that bad. Which ones? Not the pink ones. The dusty ones. Put down the burger. No. Wait, what? The pizza, the ice cream. Wait, what? What are you, crazy? You need to stop eating all that junky food. Well, which ones? We treat God like that. I want to be godly. I want to be, the Bible says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy, right? The Bible says be perfect as he is perfect. I want that. I definitely want that. Okay, cool. Well, then stop treating your wife the way that you do. What? She treated, just stop doing it. Stop treating your children the way that you do. Yeah, but they're jerks. I don't care. You do what you're supposed to do. Start getting into church regularly, right? Not forsaking the coming together and the brethren is the habit of the son, da 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 da, so on and so forth. Get into church. Yeah, but I'm busy. Wait a minute. Your schedule is given to you by God. Do you really think he's going to shove himself out? I don't think so. Which ones? Is that our response? Is that our response when we say, yes, I want to be a godly man? I want to be a man who, when I walk into the room, my godly reputation walks in before me and lets them know I'm coming because they're going to see Jesus when I get there. Yes, I want that. Okay, good. Then are you willing to do these things? Which ones? All of them. You ready to put down the pink weights? Because this study is not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. I know this. Your leaders know this. It's going to be. For many of you who didn't raise your hand, who have been in this study for a long time, you're going to see things that you'll be like, where's my study book? Where's my questions? What are we doing? Oh my goodness, this apocalypse is coming. Hold on. Your leaders are going to clarify some of this as you get into your group. You're going to have this book that we're going to be reading together, a chapter a week. I know, it's rough. Trust me, I am not a reader. I have never been a reader. Matter of fact, when I was in high school, they asked me if I read any books. I said, do comic books count? Read lots of those. In this book, there's questions. Not a lot. Maybe 6, 8, 7, I don't know. varies. And then you're like, well, then what? That's where it gets good. Because with this, you're going to have this. And every time in this, that you come across something that's in this, you're going to open up this and you're going to study it. Without the help of, what does verse 1 say? What does verse 2 say? What does verse 3 say? On to expanded questions. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to dig. But the cool thing is we've been giving you conveniently constructed groups with two leaders and about 10 guys that are there to build one another up to love and good works. It's going to be hard. You willing to do it? You're showing it by being here. But let's see. We have to push. It's not going to be easy for any of us. Becoming a godly man, I don't know if you guys are aware of this yet, it's not easy. Matter of fact, it's wrought with failure. But when it has victory, it is an amazing thing. When God shows himself in your life through you to the people around you, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, what do they do? What do they do? Say it louder.
Glorify God.
They glorify your Father in heaven. They glorify God. How cool is that, that God would be glorified by you? That he would give you the opportunity to bring him glory, to point people to him, to have an impact in their lives. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Let's make sure that like a month from now, you don't become sorrowful and walk away because you had much to do. Like that last verse there, right? That you become sorrowful and you walk away because it was just too much. You become sorrowful because you still wanted the result of the study, but you just, I have too much to do. I have too much going on. I have too many problems. I have too many activities. I have too many things, too many hours, too many drives, so on and so forth. And I just can't. Results come from consistency. Good results come from difficulty. Resistance builds. Pink weights. The path is replete and covered with men who have stayed on the pink rack. It's time to move up. Amen.
Amen.
What you guys have is group time for the rest of the evening. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to introduce you to your guys' leaders. We do this every year so that you can put a face to the guy that hopefully, leaders, called you. I've already seen one man that said, nobody called me. But that could be because this guy, when he was making the list, couldn't read your handwriting. And they ended up calling somebody in China. Just saying. It was no easy thing to construct those lists. Some of you guys, man, you'd be calligraphers by trade. That or graffiti artists, I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to introduce your leaders to you. They're going to come forward so you can see them. And then once we're done with that, we will dismiss you to your groups. If you have not signed up yet, you can stay seated, and once we're dismissed, you can go into the back on the right-hand side. There's a couple of guys will be there to receive you, sign you up, put you in a group. If you're not sure where you go, but you know you already signed up, there's going to be guys on the left-hand side that will be able to help you out because they've already have the printed list and say, oh, you're in this group, that group, or whatever. So with that, I'm going to introduce to your group leaders up by group. I feel like we should have like a drum roll and rolling lights. And
now, weighing in at a combined weight of 425 pounds.
I don't know how much their combined weight is. But first, your group one leaders are Arnold Cox and Mike Smith, leaders of group one. Arnold and Mike. Group two. Oh, and group one is meeting in classroom 301, which as you leave and you go all the way down, That whole wing over there, those three classrooms are building three. The very far one is 301. Meeting in 302, the next classroom, group two, Chuck Steckler and Sean Sturbins are your leaders for group two. This is Chuck. That's Sean. In the next classroom, which is 303, the one on the very first one you run into when you cross the bridge right there, you have Thomas Wader and Harold Davis. Harold and Thomas. Group four, which is meeting in the children's ministry office, which is the building kind of independent of itself right here, is Tim McCreary and Mike Williams. There's Mike. Tim is... he's your worship leader. Group five, which is meeting in room 102, which is this building that goes off this way, is building one. 102 is the one in the middle as you kind of pass the bathrooms and so on and so forth. That would be Steve Watts and Jerry Murphy. Group six, which is meeting right here in 101. You have the blessed opportunity of smelling coffee all evening because the coffee machine is in there. Daryl Grapes and Dennis Beza. And then lastly, you have group seven meeting in the sanctuary. Essentially, they'll be meeting right here in these front pews. You have Jim Lacey and Alex Varela. These are your leaders, and understand this, these men have been doing this, many of them, for years. They are here to serve you. That's what their desire is. They are available to you if you need prayer, if you have questions or anything like that. If you don't understand something that you read or some part that you're at in your study or whatever, you can call them up. I'm sure they will respond to you as soon as their schedule allows, because that's what they're here for. They want to serve you and help to facilitate the process that God's going to be doing in your life over the next several months. So with that, did I miss anything? Gary, where are you? He would tell me if I was missing anything. Huh? Oh. Well, if I missed anything, we'll find out later. With that, why don't we pray? God, we thank you that you love us. Lord, we are so pleased to know that we're about to embark on something great. Great things happen when men open up your word, when they read what you've written in there, when they're led by your Spirit to teach them, and when they have the fellowship of the brethren to sharpen them. So, God, we know that we have no reason to doubt that you're going to do something wonderful in each man here. And we ask, God, that you would use this time this evening, Lord, to get us acquainted with one another as we introduce ourselves to each other. I pray, God, that it will be a blessed time of fellowship, and even now you would begin to build those bonds, Lord, that would become so critical as we dig into some serious things. We ask, God, that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you know which group you're in, follow your guys out.